Welcome back, Questers. On behalf of DJ Dre Dilla, Tony Whaley Sr., Leonard Robinson, James Greer, the Quest family, Monica Kane, I'm Roy Washington. Today, we discuss music. It plays such an important role in our lives. Music. What songs made you laugh? What songs made you cry? What's your favorite genre of music? Who's your favorite artist? Best concerts you've been to? Music has saved lives. I know it saved mine. It inspires. So we'll talk about it. All things music. This is The Quest. That's your idea.
Chico Manolo, and I'm here with your boy Robinson, Whaley, and Mr. Roy Washington, man. Smooth Knowledge on The Quest, man.
What's up? We're just talking about music, discussing music that had an impact in your life, had an impact on society. Music is very powerful, you know what I mean? And so just gonna talk about maybe some songs, some videos that we've seen throughout the years. Your music that has had an impact on our society or personally in your own personal life. So I'll start with Tony Whaley Sr. here.
Hey there, how y'all doing out there? You know what? It's you think about it's hard to just drop it on one person or one group, you know? Because you say Marvin Gaye, it was a lot of people that didn't say Marvin Gaye, because I could say Marvin Gaye, you know? He said Marvin Gaye hadn't believed in black was a thing to be. He sang about, you know, like he was talking about earlier, what's going on, you know? Talk to me so you can see what's going on, you know? A movement was going on, his music was helping the movement, within the movement, and it, you know, it produced a lot, you know? And then, just like with any culture, any time period, the music influences it, and I guess I'd say, like, although Marvin Gaye was before my time period and within my time period, his music influenced, Temptations influenced. As I was coming up, you know, we had the young, the rappers come in, like, okay, even with Kumo D, with his song The Wild Wild West. But what he was talking about is our neighborhood came together and unified to protect what was in our neighborhood, which is where a lot of gangs started, though. They came together to protect their neighborhood and decided, hey, we can take it over everything. But even us as younger, you know, in Chicago, living on Laughlin Street, we held down Laughlin. You know, that was our block. And you know, we used to love that song, you know. My big bro passed away, big girl Nia. He used to love that part, that part in the Wild Wild West. Girl, we don't like you using unless our enemy's choosing.
We prefer
to fight you more like a man and beat you down with our hands and body slamming.
Body slamming you at the Wild Wild West.
Because, and honestly, you know, most of us, we was packing, but we preferred to fight. We preferred to knuckle up.
Okay.
Nobody wanted to knuckle up with the Laughing Lovers too much, though.
Oh, okay.
We were some bad boys.
Well,
had some
hands, huh?
Yeah, them hands, yeah.
Okay.
And it was that thing. One fight, all fight.
Right.
You know, I say I'm going one-on-one with you, they'll step back. Mm-hmm. If you get a shot in and I'm going down, all bets off. They coming at you. You know, but we had our neighborhood. We had our block. You don't come down our block and try to run. I was telling somebody about a guy from Chicago. I was from Foster Park. I live on Laughlin. He said, he's an 87. He said, yeah, I've been out. He said, he said, it wasn't no jokes. People in cars. I said, yeah, niggas out there just stopping cars.
Right.
I was like, yeah. I said, we wasn't no joke. We didn't lay down for nothing. But that song, Wild Wild West, kind of was the influence, you know. Man, down. We wild falls apart. We gonna do what we do, you know. And you know, when that song "Self Destruction" came out, like you mentioned earlier, the first time I heard that song, it made a lot of sense to me. You know, what are we doing? This is self destruction. We as black people. You know, you met my boy Corey.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew a lot of my other boys, you met my brother. We were all gangbangers. That song meant something to me, because I'm like, this is self-destruction. We fighting each other with other over who gets to hold down a part.
Right.
Ain't it possible for everybody to play in?
Right.
You know, I can see if you coming in trying to hurt me. Yeah, we're supposed to defend ourselves, but we fighting over this. We fighting over territory. Then when drugs start moving in, we fighting over who gets to control the drugs so we can poison our own people. That's self-destruction.
Kind of the same with my journey, you know, as a 1-9 deacon. You know, always battling with 2-4 and, 2-7.
Yeah.
Insane crimp gang, Hillside. You had the Spanish Cobras. Then you had all the punk alley gang that we used to battle with on the south side. Because, you know, when I got bust over to Bayview, that was kind of like the beginning of the desegregation, where they started busting us out. And they wasn't too happy to have us over there. So we had a lot of battles over there when I went to Bayview, and even a little bit before that, going to Walker
junior high school. You know, so yeah, that's all self-destruction really kind of made us focus back in on what we was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we was part of a lot of beat downs as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, big ups to everybody, KRS-One, Miss Melody, everybody who was part of that, you know, hip hop, you know, yeah. Having a positive message, you know, for the community, you know, when we needed it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We needed another, like, that was like a hip hop's version of We Are the World, remember?
Right.
That?
Yeah.
Well, Mike and everybody got together on that one, you know?
Yeah, that was a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean as much to me as a lot of other songs, but no. Yeah, We Are the World, yeah, We Are the Children. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice, but it didn't focus in on my community. My
right. Culture. Yeah, self-destruction really focused in on what was happening with us. And, you know, with me growing up, I was influenced a lot by the Isley Brothers.
Yeah.
Function was a big part, you know, and then. Yeah. I even liked the Kiss. That was probably one of my favorite groups, man. Like that crazy ass rock group.
I had a part of it like Chris Nye. Like, I did love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, man. Oh, man, of course. And Bootsy?
Yeah.
That was my guy.
Rick James was there. You know? But I gotta say, man. Looking at the songs then and the songs and the music now, it was more meaning to what we said. There was more meaning, you know. Like, you think about a song like What's Going On, there's a meaning behind it.
Yeah.
You know, like you brought up BBNCC with Heaven. It's a meaning behind it, you know. So, religious gospel meaning, but the way they put out there, everybody could hear it, you get the meaning, because it's like, it's catchy, but the words are saying something to you, it gives you meaning, you know. Commodores had some songs, I mean, Easy Like Sunday Morning.
Sail On.
What's the gospel song in your hand?
Jesus is Love.
Jesus is Love, yeah. You know, and that's another thing, a lot of groups and singers, higher purity in their albums. If you hear one song, you think it's a gospel album until you hear, that's the only gospel one there. But in that, it gave God honor. It gave him reverence, because without him, you're nothing.
Elder Barge, right.
Now, you don't hear that in singing, in music. You don't hear that. Everybody, see, back then, they understood. Two things, without my friends I'm nothing, without God I'm nothing. Nowadays, everybody is, it's all about me, I'm this, I'm that. What God got to do with this, what my fans got to do with it. You got to love me because of who I am. If I'm your fan and you ain't got no fans, nobody loves you, you broke.
Real.
If God don't give you the talent, you don't have a talent to share.
Right.
That was understood. Not seeing you understood. You know, even rappers made songs that, you know, gave God, but it's not the same now. And you know, this one, Houdini. I love Houdini.
Right.
But one of the songs that they did that had impact on me, because I was with my girlfriend and
I know what you're gonna say.
Was that
One Love?
One Love. Yeah.
Yeah, that was hot.
And it was hot. You know, and one of my father was laughing because, you know, that part said, maybe there's a change in Jaleel.
Yeah.
I was doing that. I said, lately there's a change in Big Well. My friend, like, oh, so. So I'm like, but it was, because the songs actually spoke to Luther Vandross, Barry White.
Mm-hmm.
Those songs spoke what sometimes we couldn't say, but we wanted to say. So you let the song say it for you.
Yeah.
You know? So it had personal value to you. Honestly, like a lot of songs today, a lot of these kids don't have an experience or anything to do with the song.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have no real personal value. So what happens, instead of having a personal impact on their life,
mm-hmm.
they want to go and imitate the song. That's not you. Why you got to imitate something that's not you? There's not, to me, there's not even enough variety out here anymore. There's not something that, okay, September may speak to one person. Love's holiday may speak to another person. Out here, everything's so much the same. There's nothing to speak to me, so I just got to imitate what I hear.
Right. Chico, go ahead.
Chico's song, Ebony Goddess. That's a song that can speak. You can relate to that.
Right.
It's giving our black women their props and raising them up. Giving them that, you know, I ain't just hyping them because he's here. You know, but it's because that song, and I'm always asking for a copy of that song. Yeah. It's something that, hey, I can say that to my woman. I mean, I know how to say it, but here, I dedicate this to you. You can hear what I think about you.
Yeah.
It makes an impact.
Everybody got us,
it was yeah, high. A lot of these young rappers, you know, and a lot of them, I love them, you know, the ones that we know that are out there, but a lot of the things they say, it don't have an impact on me. I don't even want to hear it. So I got to give Chico that props.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I wanna touch on a lot of piggyback off a lot of stuff you said, because when y'all was bringing up a lot of rappers or singers and back in y'all day, and rappers too, I was thinking like, damn, like I can't really say too many, you know what I'm saying, without sounding cliche. I only could say Tupac, you know what I'm saying. Make me feel some type of way when I listen to that music is the Tupac, the Boost, Lil Boosie. You know what I'm saying, for the street struggle, you know, or I mean, J. Cole does this thing, but I tell the kids it's levels, you know, like I on a backpack tip more, you know, he had a different type of lifestyle, but he's still real as hell. But you know, it's certain, you know, I could kind of, you know, relate to Lil Boosie more, you know what I'm saying, but Lil Boosie not the type of person I could put up with, like, you know what I'm saying, the Kendricks, Tupac's and stuff like that on a lyrical aspect, you know, to you know, rock him, you know, I can't, but his music does make me feel, and I know a lot of, because Milwaukee, he's really loved in Milwaukee. We, you know, when I feel like when I'm struggling, even if my struggle, even if he's talking about cancer, you know what I'm saying, it just made me, I could feel his music, you know what I'm saying. So it's like any touch on topics, you know, Tupac does that a lot with Keep Your Head Up, and that's kind of where, like, you know what I'm saying, that's where like Ebony Goddess kind of got inspired from, like, stuff like that. And then I want to talk about, you know, LL Cool J, I Need Love, you know what I'm saying. That was the first song I heard as a hip hop artist, like, damn, you know what I'm saying, I'm a chick crazy nigga, you know what I'm saying. I really like, you know what I'm saying, I take pride, you know what I'm saying, of this man-woman thing, and he kind of combined that. LL Cool J was the innovator combining love songs with hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, and I think when I heard that song, I'm like, damn, that's what's up, you know what I'm saying, so I really, like, I appreciated that, and I was younger, like, damn, you know, I need love, you know what I'm saying, I like that, you know what I'm saying, and I like it, you know what I'm saying, I like the how they, you know, held the black woman, you know what I'm saying, on a higher pedestal back then too. Nowadays, the music's still there, but it's very hard. It's like, you know what I'm saying, like going to Walmart trying to, you know, going to the DVD, you know, where they got the $5, $3 DVDs.
Yeah.
You trying to find something, you gotta go through all them damn DVDs just to try to find the one you want. It's kind of like that. So, you know, but music does play a strong impact on, you know what I'm saying, on our lives and stuff like that. And what we hear and what we listen to, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these young cats don't got that much, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So you saying Ebony Goddess was your kind of got the inspiration from Tupac song?
I would say yeah, that and me starting to become conscious of oppression. I didn't learn about oppression in school, but I was, you know, I was showed the way, you know, about somebody, and I started really doing research and stuff like that, and I started really understanding life. I was getting a little older, and I started seeing that we was down and out, and, you know what I'm saying, and we needed that, and I just felt like that would have been a pick-me-up for the ladies, for the black women, you know. Like I said before in the last interview, like, my mama's black, my sisters, my auntie, my grandma, my cousins, you know, they all black, you know, and that's our community. And whatever I could do to lift the community up, you know what I'm saying? Like you said too, God, you know, a lot of artists don't understand that you won't be nothing without your fans and God. And I feel like, man, like, God blessed me with this wonderful talent. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta be able to do something. I gotta work for God as well. Cause I make a song. I mean, there's certain songs I got too where you can be like, this boy ain't talking about shit, you know? You know what I'm saying? But then again, I gotta understand too, like, why am I here and what can I do on this earth, you know what I'm saying, to make it a better place while I'm here, you know? Because I like I tell my students at Madison High School, you know, what do hip-hop stand for? It stands for higher infinite power, healing our people. So what can I do to heal our people, you know what I'm saying, with these words that I got, that God blessed me with, you know, and I can put in an art form. And the music is very influential, so, you know, we got to try our best to, you know, make the right music.
Something you just said, like, you said some of your music people, like, what this boy thinking about. But in the music industry, some of your songs are not going to be brought, you know, people are going to wonder. But the thing about that is, it's two parts of it. You got to make money, so you got to put something out that's going to get the money going in. Two, you got to get a fan base. If people not listening to you, they're not going to hear what you say. So you might say something that nobody, that we like, older people, like, what this young boy talking about? Young kids, hip-hop, and then you break out, now let me give you Ebony Goddess, or something like that. Exactly. Now, they got to hear that now, because they all gung-ho for everything else, right. for that one that nobody else understands. Then you drop something on them with some knowledge.
Right. I like that.
I bring you in, and then I give you what you want.
I like
you know, I'm going to say this about churches even. They so busy worrying about what somebody wearing in the church, how they look coming in church, that you lose a soul. Welcome them in. You change a person from inside to out, not from outside to in. If I take you and you a drug addict, and you smell like doo-doo because you're into the shower in 3 days and I go put a suit on you, guess what? You still a drug addict, you smell like doo-doo, you just dressed up in it. If I don't clean the inside out to make the outside work, I did nothing. Yeah. Even with music, whatever I got to do to pull you in, now I can start giving you what you need. If this welcomes you in, I'm gonna welcome you in. Now you here. Now you gotta hear what I gotta say to you.
Exactly.
And then I'm gonna bring, cause I'm pretty. It was a lot of songs that I did that probably people were like what they talking about. And then when they hear something, oh, okay, you know the song is on the radio. Everybody want to hear. So you go by the album. Cause back then there were more records and cassettes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too many unless you get a 45. So then when you hear the whole album, there's a lot of other songs on there that you really like, and they're speaking to you more than the one that they playing on the radio.
Right.
You know, and like, let me can I ask this? When you talked about LLJ, like, I need love. LLJ did speak to a lot of people and a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And when he, that song, I Need Love, my dad in here bought a piano because he wanted me to learn how to play. Me, I wanted to use it to get girls. I find a girl know how to play, that's my ticket to teach me how. My brother had a little keyboard, my bro, and it was four of us together, me, Reggie, Wolf, and Tim. Tight. I call them the Brosons, but we were cousins, but more like brothers, the four of us. And Reggie got on the keyboard, and that song, I Need Love, he learned how to play it. And me and him, we performed that for somebody, and yeah, they were like, hey, that's good. And me and him were sitting there thinking, man, ain't you tired of the stuff we always doing? We need to find a good girl. We need to, like, the song got us thinking about, you know, the dog and stuff we doing that we need to change. So, yeah, those songs, you know, after I'm bad, then you hear I Need Love.
Yeah,
you know,
what's up, man? I think it brings you back. I think it brings us back, man. Like, you know, like scientifically, you know, if a man's with a woman, you know, like a young man is with a girl, has a girlfriend, it's scientifically that he's gonna stay alive. He's gonna be out of. He's gonna be in less trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because you're focused. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and it's black love, man. So it's dope, man. And it's just love, period, man. So it's dope, man. So. You know, right now I'm not focused on that, but that's the man. Kudos, man. My hat go off to anybody, man. All black love around Milwaukee and around the world, man. I salute you, man. For real, keep it up. Be faithful, man, and be honest, man. You know.
You know, what he was talking about as far as being a change on the inside. I remember shout out to Reverend H.K. Henderson, late great Reverend H.K. Henderson, pastor of Philadelphia Baptist Church. He used to talk about being a change on the inside. You're getting baptized, you go down a dry devil and get up a wet one.
My pastor used to say that.
Yeah, and you know, just I know MC Hammer was I really didn't get into his music too much, but he had some spiritual stuff on his album, so he used to touch me, like Child of the King. Mm. You know, then he had a song called Help the Children.
Because this song can't. This was on the same album. I can't touch this. Was on.
Yeah, and, same albums. And those are some nice songs, but you know they didn't get no. They just some songs flipped out them, but they were powerful.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
And that's another thing. We talk about R&B groups, and you know, BBCC is more of a gospel group, but you know, outside of tradition. Mm-hmm. But I love groups like the Wines. You know, Commission. We're gonna talk about gospel. Yeah, Commission. Take Six. There was an acapella gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hezekiah Walker, John P. Key.
Read your cabin.
Thank you.
Kirk.
Kirk was new on the scene. He brought a whole new focus to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Yolanda Adams. Mm-hmm. You know, you had all these wonderful singers. And if I'm not mentioning any that you like, they're in there.
Witness.
I just can't think of the name.
You remember Witness?
Yes.
Girl group?
Vicky Winans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at...
I love Witness.
Gospel groups, they encourage you in a spiritual way,
mm-hmm.
but it was also stuff that could be applied to your natural life too. You know, giving positive reinforcement and things of that nature. It talked about you suffering and going through pain, but you'll come out. Just give it time. Wait. Be encouraged. You know, wait on the Lord. You know.
Mm-hmm.
The name just stuck my head. Milton Bronson and Thompson Community Choir.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name?
New Jersey Mass Choir.
Jersey Mass Choir.
And they had
New York song. Restoration Choir.
Yeah.
You said that you had one.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa.
Bill Cowan. That's all I'm sure.
I can't think of some of the names that they're in my head, and I can't even think of the names right now. But you know, you took Fred Hammond.
Oh yeah,
you
know, Fred. All of us are commissioners.
Yeah.
Staten. Mitch.
Mitch.
Marvin Sapp.
Marvin Sapp. Man. The songs that they sang, gospel songs, they gave you an understanding of what you need to do for yourself and what it takes to bring yourself closer to a relationship with God. And that's what gospel is supposed to do. But I listen to a lot of these new gospel groups today, and the message isn't as powerful. You know, when I was living saved, When I backslid, I started doing stuff that I wouldn't do. But if you played one of those gospel songs back in the day, I couldn't even light a cigarette. I couldn't pick up a beer. I have to stop what I'm doing because it convicted me.
Right.
A lot of these new things, I'm listening to the gospel and I'm smoking my cigarette drinking before I even realize that, oh wait, that's a gospel song.
Right.
You know, but as soon as Fred Hammond come on, you hear that bass hit, I got to put it out because the music just all of a sudden convicted me because the anointing is in there. There's no anointing like it used to. A lot of these gospel artists, you know, forgive me, but a lot of them, they got a gay vibe to them that don't make you feel the gospel. Make you feel like they just there for the show.
Right.
You know, I love Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people want to say, I think Kirk Franklin, I never got a gay vibe from Kirk Franklin.
Right.
He had a little... Steve Harris and Kirk Franklin was about to cuss one thing. But,
you
never do, but he makes you want to jump. And he gives you something to think about and something to do with. His song Smile, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody was preaching one time, they said, if you want to confuse the devil, when you're going through your trials, smile. If you're going through, laugh. Don't let him know that it's bothering you. Mm-hmm. That messes him up.
Right.
Don't let your enemy know when you're down, when you're feeling defeated. Mm-hmm. Lift yourself up.
Right.
David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. You lift yourself up. You smile about it. I may be going through, but I know the main word in there is through. I'm not here to stay. I'm here to go through. There's an end to what I'm going through. I can smile because I know there's an end to it. I gotta have a thought in my mind. There's an end to this. So while the devil's throwing everything at me, I'm laughing at him because, devil, you don't win. I'm coming out because I'm going through.
You guys watching To The Quest. We're watching sit here with Chico Manolo, Tony Wadey Sr. And we got Ronald Robinson just chilling, cooling in the back. You know, shout out to BB and CC Winers. I remember it was a point in my life where everybody was like, you can't listen to no more secular music. You know, and I was walking that path, I stopped listening to music, period. And I was looking for something in the gospel realm that could give me that same feeling. And I remember they came out with Heaven, and that was a game changer for me. So shout out for that. Then, like you said, groups like Commission. And then, for my hip-hop, you had groups like DC Talk and Dynamic Twins, A1 Swift, great hip-hop artists in the gospel, in the gospel field. Especially DC Talk, they were like the Run DMC, in gospel, They changed the game, brought gospel or hip-hop, and it was anointed, too. You ever heard any DC Talk? Say the words just between you and me. Free at last. She's that kind of girl. Groups like ETW. Man.
The conversation is music. And we got you locked into The Quest. We'll be right back. Erykah Badu, y'all.
Two of my favorite gospel singers.
Yeah.
One of them is somewhat known. She sang in Witness. Danielle Jones.
Okay.
And my other favorite, Marche Whaley. You have to hear some of her stuff. That's my sister, but she never got pushed out there.
Let me hear one of her songs.
Yeah.
She can sing.
Yeah. But she never got that pushed out there like she should. Okay. She went on Sunday's Best. Mm-hmm. Kurt loved her. BB loved her. One of the Mary Mary sisters loved her. Other mm-hmm. one said, there's no more. And all of them looked at her like, you hear that on Sunday? on Sunday mm-hmm. at church? I ain't heard that. But it was at that point where, you know how they get that point where it don't have to be unanimous.
Right.
She got to that point where it had to be everybody agreed. Mm-hmm. And if one disagreed, you were out. Mm-hmm. And she got out. The next time she went back was a few years later. They told her, she, you know, you got it, but it's still a process. So all the people that they select. So I didn't know when they select people that they, I thought they just automatically went on. No, they select, and then out of the ones they select, they choose which ones are they going to go for.
You ever had, was there ever a point in your life where you was down and out? You know, just your life was just down, and you heard a record or you discovered a group, and their music was medicine for you and got you up off the mat?
When I had, after my accident, you know, after the accident, my leg, and I used to love Yolanda Adams, just singing, and that song. I think the song is "Open My Heart."
Open My Heart, beautiful song.
That song started playing, and I was sitting there because I was in that position. I don't know the right role to choose. I don't know what to do, and I'm afraid of disappointing you guys because I know there's a calling, but I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to. And I sat there and listened to that song, and I cried like a baby. Yeah. And those tears and that song and those words and what was going through me, it was like a refreshing and a cleansing. Like, I'm here for a purpose. And, you know, I'm opening my heart to you. Yeah. I got to let me go and open my heart to you. You know, this song just, it touched me in such a way. And then the Winans had a song, I Feel Like Flying Away.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was some things going on. Me and my brother, we had, you know, through that with Bobby. Me and my sister, that we were really close at one time. We still close, but not as close as we used to be.
Okay.
That song, hearing that song, kind of lifted me up. Because, like, you're right. David went through that. He loved Saul. He loved Saul's son. And he felt betrayed. The people that were supposed to be with him, his own son. But he felt like flying away. But I got to be here. So I gotta make it through. I gotta deal with that. I gotta forgive the things that happened or let go of those and try to make a fresh start with these things that I'm not like this hurt. Because I gotta deal with it. You know? And the Gospel Clips, that's a whole group. And they had a song, Father Open Our Eyes. And another song, I Have Wings Over Dawn. Those two songs was when something was, I was going through something, and when I first heard the Gospel Clubs, my mother had the album when I was a kid. But I thought it was one of the new groups, you know, gospel groups. I didn't know that album was 10 years older than me, so I listened to the older songs. But they grab it in at that heartstring, grabbing in and saying, you know, that, you know, lifts me up. You know, and then there's some secular songs too that kind of did before, pulled me out when I was going through some tough situations. You know, I can't really think of naming all of them right now, but there was some. You know, I used to love Marvin Gaye. I used to love Marvin and Tandy. You know, I used to love, you know, different groups that were out there, Temptations, the Four Tops. You know, I guess I'm just old school. You know, a lot of that stuff. You know, a couple of blues songs that just hit me in, you know. But you're going through something, and they kind of give you that springboard to jump back up.
Okay. I've been quiet during this segment. Hey, this is Rob. This is Rob speaking. I was just listening to Brother Whaley speaking. And me, when I listen to music, it's everybody who around me know I love blues.
Yeah.
And Temptations is one of my favorite groups. I got a CD. I just play it every. When I get up on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, I'm waiting for that blues station to come on.
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So I love not just blues, any song or group or individual artist that has a message. in a song. Right. No, I love a song with a message. Mm-hmm. You know, it don't have to be a gospel. It could be a gospel or blues, R&B. But some rap music got good messages in them. Right. You just got to listen to them. Right. A good message. So that's how my music, I got a whole collection of old CDs. I mean, jazz. I'm in old memories. Like rap, I got rap, I got jazz, I have a whole collection of different types of music. Right. I just like music with a message. Right. Positive message. I put that out there. Positive message.
You hear a lot about that Temptation, bro. We had to hide that CD from one day. Every time we look, we take it out, we look back, it's back in playing.
Yeah.
We had to hide the CD. We gonna Temptation us out.
Hey, favorite, Brother Wade's favorite Temptation song is number 3. Beauty's Only Skin Deep.
Yeah.
Because my friends ask what I see in you.
Hey, I was down. I was at the point when I was about to, you know, commit suicide. Thinking about committing suicide. And I heard some songs by Will Downing. Mm-hmm. Back in 2001, that lifted my spirit. You know, so I gravitated to a lot of Will Downing CDs, and it was like medicine. And then, you know, like some years later, when I was going through in my marriage, this group, Swing Out Sister, they're a foreign group, you know, but they had that, they considered a one-hit wonder, because they had that song Breakout that America knows, but they got so much good music, man, and they ministered to me for a while as well, when I was going through and I was married, and it was kind of on the rocks, and I needed some inspiration, so shout out to you.
I got a couple songs shout out to my boy Nonchalant Man, BDBM. He actually got a song called Still Trying.
Oh, okay.
And man, that song got me through so much, man. I'm struggling, man. You know what I'm saying? Still trying to just, you know, become successful in his music, man. That's a dope song, man. So y'all go on SoundCloud and check that out. Nonchalant. It's spelled how Nonchalant is spelled. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And check out Still Trying.
He's a great artist.
Yeah, real great, man. Dope
artist,
man. I heard
Hood Love, man. I was blown away.
Man, hey, that song,
too. I didn't even know you. I was like, man, who this dude up there, man? Dude was doing Hood Love, man. I was blown away by that song, man. And then I remember I wanted you to do it at the show we had. He was like, no, I got something else. You're going to like it. I'm like, oh, no.
That's crazy that I picked this song about Hood Love. That's crazy.
I'm glad you did, because Hood Love, man, if you look at the video, I got it on my YouTube channel, man. It's an audience kind of laughing and they're watching him perform it, man. Mm-hmm. Hood Love, man, Every Goddess, he got some real touching songs. No Baby in My Life, that's one that actually brought tears to my eyes. You know?
That's what's up, man.
I did like Hood Love. It made me laugh too. It made me laugh, but it does. It's there, you know. When you listen to it. Hey, we might be on E2, but we gonna make it work.
Yeah, that song was straight inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to my ex. You know,
The Queen. The Queen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's how you know what it is. Look. Perfect timing. But he ain't lined up with yeah, man, so we, you know, I'm just thinking like, man, this is a dope ass beat, man. I wanna, you know what I'm saying? You know, I wanna rap about, I wanna touch different topics and go different avenues and go different places like where nobody went, you know what I'm saying? And this world, you know, I'm really going through, man. I can't talk about how I'm throwing money in the club. I can't talk about that. I can talk about being in the club, like pulling your chick or something, you know what I'm saying? But I can't talk about money. So I wanted to talk about something real, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I know somebody can go through it too. Like just how when I hear I'm Still Trying, or when I hear, you know what I'm saying, Lil Boosie, too much for one nigga. You know what I'm saying? We got so much stress on your Somebody Loves You by, that's why I did that over on Black Art. That was by Flies. And then when I hear Keep Your Head to the Sky by Earth, Wind & Fire, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Them songs, you know, them songs touch me. Then, you know, I got a different, you get a different type of feeling when you meet them songs. It's a different from one to hear and meeting songs, you know what I'm saying? And I want to make songs that people need. Y'all definitely took, man, a lot of, man, Aquaman, Tupac songs. And Brenda, and I wanted to talk about that song too, Brenda Got a Baby. it showed you how much he cared for the community. He brought the community out with that, because that was based on a true story.
Yeah.
And I thought that was real dope, you know what I'm saying? And there's so much going on in Milwaukee that none of us is talking about, you know what I'm saying? Right. That, you know what I'm saying, that we could talk about, you know? So I got a lot of songs coming out about that too. You know, Alexis Patterson, that's my cousin, you know what I'm saying? That's my real life cousin. Shout out to my cousin Ken, you know what I'm saying? Free my cousin Ken, I love you, fool. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to everybody in the family. I know I don't speak that much on that, you know what I'm saying? But you know some stuff in the making and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of topics, man, that, you know what I'm saying, that we're a part of in the city, man, that we got to talk about, man. We got to get, you know what I'm saying, get going, get a movement going for real, for real.
And just a couple of local artists I want to give a shout out to that positive songs. I was listening to the Truth song earlier, to Daddy songs, All She Wrote For Daddy, that Miss Jane did the music. That was a great piece. That was a great piece right there. Damo had a song, Nigga Like Me. Love that song.
Shout out Damo.
Yeah, when I heard that song, I was like, oh man. And Young Bully was All I Know. That was a great song. You did a great job on that.
Bully.
Yeah. Young Bully.
Yeah, I like about Bully. He tried to uplift you with laughter and
right.
comedy.
Yeah, he got the comedy.
Yeah, he's got to make you think about something but smile at the same time. Like, you know, give it a little break, you know. Life ain't so dope. Serious, you know.
You need that, though. You need
yeah,
that,
you need that, dope. You know, like.
And Lucy Liu, just phenomenal with everything. She touched, you
know. Lucy Liu cold. Yeah. Shout out Lucy Liu. She cold.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of these, because you know what? Like that song, Brenda Got a Baby. And tell, that's things that we, a young girl, she's 16. She makes a mistake and has sex, but it's unprotected. She has a baby.
Right.
Well, although, okay, yeah, she made a mistake. It was a bad thing. Don't make her feel her life just ended because of that.
Okay.
We want to put them down so quick. Mm-hmm. And then nobody's taking into the fact that, but there's a new life getting ready to come to this world. That's a beautiful thing. God created life. There's a life coming to this world. That life is going to need love, too. It's going to need it's going to need nurture. It's going to need guidance.
Right.
We so focused on her being a failure, that kid ain't going to be nothing. That we push him out there
right.
for her to do whatever she got to do. I can't go to school no more, so I'm going to sell my body.
Right.
But kid, hey, you ain't got no choice but to be a little thug and maybe a little drug dealer. Right. Unless it's a girl, then she grow up in drug dealing and a prostitute too, because nobody has taken into the fact that there was a mistake made, but the product can be a positive. You take a negative and make it a positive. What the devil meant for good, bad, God turned it into good. We too busy looking at what he meant for bad that we help him to make it worse.
What's some of the great party records you guys have heard? Like, Walk There It Is.
There it is.
Yeah, Walk There. That was a great one. What's some of the other great party records? Kula Gang Celebration. It was all just feel good songs.
Yeah.
It's summertime now.
Jazzy Jefferson?
Yes, that's right. We heard it Friday. Summer time.
Yeah. Sit back in, don't you?
Yeah.
Break the monotony of all the hardcore rap that has gotten to be. You
yeah.
know, we gotta, you know.
A little bit out of control. Yeah.
And I like Jazzy Fresh Prince even because, even you know, like a lot of young rappers now, teenagers, whatever, they want to talk about throwing money, being hard. He talking about stuff that kids want to hear.
Right.
Damn, don't understand. Damn, girls are the world
right.
of trouble.
Right.
It made you laugh, but it was reality.
It was right.
We felt like, hey, you right, my parents don't understand. Nothing's going on. I'm getting in trouble for stuff that they should give it a break.
Right.
Not on a parent, yeah, you can't get it a break. You don't understand it now, but as a child, yeah, they don't understand me.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
I think he would have a broader move. I know it's weird, in today's time is weird, because it's not, but at the same time, I think he would have had, it would have been a little bit more appreciated. Cause it's a lot of people now it's a lane for that now. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's not mainstream, like popular music, but it's a lane for that. Like, he got a son, Jaden Smith, you know what I'm saying? And Jaden Smith, you know, I personally, you know what I'm saying? I think he's a dope rapper, but you know, that lane, I think that lane would have been respected. Cause now that I think about it too, you know, I laughed at that. I laughed at it like, man, this corny. But looking at the art form of it, you know what I'm saying, and knowing that we got multicultural now in hip hop, and hip hop is bigger and greater now. You think college kids and you know what I'm saying, Caucasians, Asians, Hispanics, you know, I think they would have appreciated songs like that. Parents just don't understand because it's real, you know what I'm saying? I used to laugh at that song. I used to hate that song, actually. But now when I'm thinking about now, when I'm talking, I'm like, wow. That's actually pretty. It's dope because he's telling a story. He's telling a teenage story. It probably could have been on High School Musical now. It could have been a Nickelodeon, Disney. You feel what I'm saying? So I think that song could have actually been more, because we everybody laugh at Will Smith as a rapper, and we took him as a joke, but I think that song would have been respected now.
He was joking. He was a lot of stuff, because he was comical, you know. Right. But, you know. Yeah, love it.
Welcome to Miami. Somebody's a party jam. Men in Black for
But you know what song I love? What? And I played that for both my boys. I used to play that for both my songs. What's this song? It's just me. But it's the song about, you know, my son, 5 years old, bringing comedy. Every time I look at you, I think, man, you with me, just like me. Wait and see, gonna be tall. Make me laugh, cause you got your bad ears and all.
I
think
my,
just the two of us.
Okay.
The two of us. I thought that was small, too.
When I heard that, the first time I heard it, my son, Patrick, he was about 5 years old. And when I would look at him, I would see, that's a little me. And then when Mark came along, I was doing a picture of me when I was his age. It looked like the same person. You know, I was like, dang, I reincarnated myself. And that song, I used to sing that to him. And everything, because I remember, like, Patrick, I didn't bring him home from hospital. But when he was a baby, I used to, everything he did scared me. I was a new father. He was my first little, everything he did scared me. But at the same time, he's a boy. So why is terrifying the heck out of me? I gotta let him do it. I gotta let him fall. So by the time Mark came along, you know, I'm a little better at this. But and I brought Mark home from the hospital, and so that song spoke to that. And hey, it's gonna be better. I done did this with Patrick. I know when a boy fall, it didn't get better. That was still my baby.
Right.
But I still had to stand back. I remember my wife went there. Mark fell, and my wife went to run to him, and I stopped. She said, "What you doing?" I said, "Yeah, boy. Let him get up." I said, "He got to be a man one day. If I keep picking him up, he ain't gonna never get up on his own." And he got up. He like, "Ah." I said, he was crying like, "Ah." I said, "Kick your leg out." He kicked your leg out. I said, "Move your arms." He did that. I said, "Move your fingers." He did that. I said, "Ain't nothing broke. Shut up and go play." And that's what he did. He shut up and went and played.
I did the same thing now. I work for the education system. Yeah. So I'm at an elementary school now, so when the kids be on the playground, they fall, they come running to me, they cry. I say, "Oh, I'm hurt." I say, "Look, I need a band-aid." I said, "Move your leg, let me see." I said, "Yeah, go play." They ain't even my kids. That's just being a father, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. You all right.
But she couldn't understand the difference, because if my girl fall, I pick her up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, "You okay? Come on, let's see. Okay, come on, daddy got you."
Mm-hmm.
"Why you pick up my girl and not pick up Mark?" She's a little girl. She's delicate. She's a flower.
Right.
That's my rock. Yeah. He better get his tail up. I need him to get up.
Right.
When I'm gone, he gotta hold the family down. If I'm not here, he's gotta be the one that follows my footsteps. She don't. She need to get a husband. But you know, the thing was just basically, I can't treat my girls like, because my girls gotta know, a man is supposed to be gentle to you. He's supposed to care for you. He's supposed to protect you. My son got to know, you got to be hard enough so you can care for and protect your woman.
Right, there you go.
That's fine.
They got to know two different things that they got to know. I used to wonder why my sister would have to wash dishes and mop the floor, but she never had to take out the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wash dishes and mop the floor, but I still had to take out the garbage. I had to cut the grass, she didn't. And my mother and father had to explain to me, because one day you're going to be a man. The things that she's doing, she's gonna have to do no matter what. If she's a wife, or if she's single, you're gonna have to do it no matter what the case is.
Uh-huh.
If you're married, you're gonna have to do it. And if you're single, you're gonna have to do it. So yeah, you gotta learn how to cook, because if you ain't got a wife, you gotta learn how to cook. Her, she's gotta learn how to cook. If she don't have a husband, she gotta learn how to cook. If she got a husband, she gotta know how to cook.
What?
You gotta survive in every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're learning. You learn how to survive and everything that you're going to have to survive in. She's learning how to survive and everything that she's going to have to survive in.
For real.
Anything else to add on that, fellas?
My son made me proud one day. We was at the swimming pool. Learned how to swim.
Yeah.
He went to do a flip into the pool. Hit his head on the concrete right by the pool. Oh, hit the water. Yeah. I'm in the water. I dive toward him. He jumps up. He like, I said, "You all right?" I don't want to grab him too fast because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want. He said, "Yeah." He said, "But then," I said, "It's okay. Don't be scared." He said, "Dad, listen. What did I do wrong?" I'm like, "What you say? When I did the flip and I bumped my head, what did I do wrong?" I said, "Well, son, you started too far back. You got to be close." He said, "Okay." Jumped out the pool, got closer, did the flip right into the pool. Perfect.
I'm to me, scared.
I said, yeah, just, only thing that I felt in that was pride. I'm like, the fact that I didn't pick him up every time made him know I got to get up. And before this thing defeats me, I got to go back and conquer it. So all he wanted to know from his dad, how do I conquer it?
That's what's up.
Rob, that's something we was talking about earlier. Was that today or yesterday when we were talking about the bike riding?
Today.
Your sons.
Yeah. So
let them ride the bikes and they fall a little bit or whatever.
Like when they was little, now they 13 and 16, but when they was 5 and 6, and I'd be wearing shorts, they're like, "Daddy, what's wrong with they? I got two big scars, one on each knee." Like, I call them my twins. Because they look like identical scars, one on each knee. I said, "You're going to get some too one day." I said, then when I was a little boy, we'd ride my bike, hit a pothole or something, scared my knee. I mean, scared the band all the way down to the white knee. You know what I'm saying? That one's going to get a scar right there, scared it down to the white knee.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I let them do it, you know. My junior got a nice little scar on his face. Being a boy, hey, I said, "Boy, you put a scar up your knees and your arm, not your face."
They pretty.
You cover up your knees and elbows, but you ain't covering face up now, boy. You missed the whole point of this scar.
Your son came to me. You can tell me about it to me. I said, "Well, that's my son." I'm like, "I'm not letting." He like, "Let him be a boy. Let him get some scars."
Right.
I said, "Scars don't make you a boy." He said, "You got scars?" I said, "I ain't got no scars." He said, "What's the right thing?" I said, "Well, I cut that through something." He said, I said, "Okay, I got one scar." He said, "What?" I said, "Okay, I got scars. He don't need it." And I said, "He got a scar." And what was messing it up is that the things that he was saying to me was the same things I was saying. I would say to his mama,
right.
"Let him be a boy. Mm-hmm. He gonna hurt himself good. He don't know not to do it again. He gonna scratch. He might scar up. Okay, he'll get a scar. Girls like scars. That'll work for him." I said, "But he gotta be a boy. You're not letting him be a boy."
Right.
So when he get out there and get punked and bullied, it's because you're not letting him be a boy.
Cool.
You know, somebody, one kid was playing with his basketball and didn't want to get back, but he won't come in. He came in the house and told me, like, "He won't get my basketball back." Damn, she get up, get ready to go. I said, "Sit down." I said, "We'll go get your basketball. Don't come back here without it. You go out there and got his basketball, then come back in the house without it."
Cool.
I'm like, "If you go out there and get it for him, you're gonna be getting it for him. You're gonna get everything that he loses, you're gonna have to go get it for him. Because he's never gonna be tough enough or know how to be a man and go get his stuff, get back something. He'll let people take something from him all the time. The money that you give him for lunch, you're paying for somebody else."
Right. Sister Sledge, "We Are Family."
Yeah.
When that song came out, did that touch you?
Yeah, you know, I love this song.
I got all my sisters in me.
You know what? Whatever. You were 30 when he came.
There was only one person probably wasn't born.
You were 30 when he came. But my sisters, I used to love it. And it would be a switch up in the song because, you know, you'd be singing and you're like, "I got all my sisters in me."
Yeah.
It'd be like, "I got my brother's sisters in me."
Yeah.
"My brother's sisters in me."
Right.
You're like, you know, you can't, like, y'all got just all y'all sisters. Y'all got brothers, so add that to it. Shoot.
They got a song about not wanting to work no more. I gotta work a 9-to-5. It was somebody.
Was it Johnny Kemp? Was it?
No, that is like, I'm about to sing it, y'all. Bear with me.
Okay.
"I don't mind."
Okay, that ain't singing, that's something.
I don't know.
He thought we'd catch the rhythm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
thought y'all catch it.
We didn't catch that. Man,
but it's a dope song. It's about how they tired of working. It was a group. I'm thinking it was Sister Sledge, but it might not have been. But it was a group. And they album, they all was looking the other way. And one was looking in the camera. Don't you know how everybody looked the opposite direction? One looking in the camera.
Yeah.
I know they signed to Lenny. Because when I was going to get signed to Lenny last year, I was looking up for everybody.
What's
that
group?
Signed to
the sister group.
Gospel?
No.
Old school?
This was them. It was Sister Sledge. So.
What's that song? I'm so excited.
Right. Point of Sisters. Point of Sisters.
Yeah, this Sister Sledge. Right here. Yeah. So it was them. So Lost in it might be Lost in Music.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the song.
Look at Chico bringing up some old school. Okay.
Yeah, no, man. I think that was the one, man. And they were just talking about like how they tired of working. They don't want to work. They working 9 to 5, but they don't want to work. They just want to sing. And I thought that was dope. And that inspired me too. You know.
Chico, yeah, stick to rapping though, man. You got that. Because there's 88 keys on the keyboard, and you didn't find one.
I'm
just messing with you, bro.
Hey, I got an R&B record coming out, too. Right? You know that, man. You know, you got auto-tune.
You miss me with that one, you know. But, when you start rapping again, then let me know.
Oh, no, y'all messing up my R&B promotion. Y'all messing up my R&B promotion, man.
Then we got the songs that make you happy to see Friday, and we're like Johnny Kemp just got paid. Remember Bella and James living up Friday night?
Oh yeah.
Friday night.
Yeah, I missed all 88 that time myself.
I actually think that was a black group. I didn't know that was they was mixed. One of them was white or whatever. Mm-hmm. Bella and James,
like Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh yeah, well I knew this one, but it was jamming.
They was jamming, but you know what?
Wanna go party? Yeah.
But the first time I heard them, I didn't know it was until I saw.
That's how you know a song.
Casey,
whatever you did.
Hey man, listen. I'm talking about the y'all. It's gonna be hard. Listen, y'all supposed to know the rhythm. If I did this right here on this Snapchat, y'all, man, shout out.
Man, all my stomach in there.
Man,
your stomach
in everything.
So
know that's the Village People, man. Was there ever a gayer group than the Village People?
What's that?
Billy Vanilla?
That group that
didn't
do no. Luther Vandross started with before you went.
I went to this old bar. I went to an old bar. This old lady swore that the guy, me and my guy, was Milli Vanilli. They're like, oh my god. Is he Milli Vanilli? And you know me, I'm petty, so I start messing with him. Like, yeah, I'm Milli Vanilli. So, oh my God, she's geek. She's a bartender.
Listen. You should have been told
her.
You should have been 60 years old now.
Did you get a free drink?
No, I'm a bartender. Bartender knew I wasn't Milli Vanilli.
Y'all should have did that thing on Living Color. I'm Milli, he's Vanilli. And he's like, no, today I am Milli, you Milli.
Oh, girl, you know it's true.
Yeah. Wait, what about that?
Lip syncing like
when they found out they were lip syncing. He said, he can really sing. And so he sang something, he said, so now can we keep the war?
They won a Grammy behind that, didn't they?
Yeah. And it wasn't even them.
They had to give it back.
Wow. They had that dance.
Who was actually singing that? Somebody was actually singing at her. They just lip synced all at her. They had a couple like nice little jams. You know, wasn't singing a lick.
But they had one when it was on the beach and all that.
What about our political powerhouse groups like Public Enemy and X-Clan?
Oh man, they made a bunch of things. KRS-One.
KRS-One, yeah, man, yeah. Definitely.
Very socially conscious.
They were.
We had poor righteous teachers. And then what you was talking about as far as the young ladies, I remember, Poor Righteous Teachers had a song, Shakayla.
Shout out Queen. Muhammad Ali. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. One of the greatest.
Oh my God, man.
When he brought them groups up and sent their message, what they stood for.
He was music in the ring, man.
He was
music in the ring.
And this goes back to my when I was talking about Michael Jordan. See, a man like Muhammad Ali, that's when a man I could respect and I could love, because he was a king inside the ring and outside the ring. You know what I'm saying? Them the people that I like to look up to, the people that, you know what I'm saying, that's in the studio, that's great, and that's great outside the studio, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was my thing with Michael Jordan. So, go Golden State, man. Curry, let's beat them Rams.
Muslims, that ain't my thing, but Muhammad Ali and Cassius Clay, while he was a Muslim, but he never lost his vision. He loved children. He still wanted to help. You know, the things that he loved. It wasn't okay. It's about okay. If you ain't a Muslim, I don't care about you. I'm gonna try to convert you. That ain't what you are. But he cared about his community. He cared about the people. You know, I remember when I was younger, I could be always bragging in the ring and making little rhymes. And, you know, if I don't knock you in three, boy, you're going to fall to your knee. You know, but he was backing up what he said. But then when you see him out in public, he was a different person. You know, I was mad at him because my uncle fought him, you know, earned his career.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And when my sister took me over Uncle Ernie's house after that, man, I ran from him like a month. I mean, he's on faces all in every different direction.
Wow.
He had Lonnie eyes. I mean, he was. But you know, the thing was, I hated him for that, and I still think he cheated. But nevertheless, he was still a good person.
Oh, your uncle gave him a good battle.
My uncle used to be a sparring partner to beat him all the time.
Oh.
When Ali beat my uncle claims, but if you look at the fight, when he had him, you know, that thing, he rubbed his eye on the thing and then he kept to his thumb. And in the fight, you could see when he was hitting, he had to do like that just to mess with him. So he didn't quit because he couldn't, he felt like he couldn't. You can't hit fight what you can't see. So
that's what Ali kind of said for Liston did at her after some kind of thing on his gloves. And that was stuck on the gloves and they couldn't see for them.
If I was a known thing back in the day, it was when they know they're getting beat.
Right.
The corners with gloves, stuff on your gloves, so you hit your opponent, it, you know, mess with your vision or something.
You weren't saying it was like, when you got him on that rope, he held his head down and rubbed it against that, you know, rubbed his head against that rope, and he got up and his eye would hit the spine. Every time he would get a punch in, he would take his finger, and when you're holding it, twisting it.
Man, stop talking about the greatest, man.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still not gonna say he not the greatest.
Because your uncle got whooped.
He was. My uncle died.
Your uncle just got whooped.
My uncle got cheated. But nevertheless,
show me the tape.
But nevertheless, it'll be on sooner or later.
Put it up.
But
got the VHS. Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you this: the pissed off part about that was that Ali got mad because Ali said, your name is Cassius Clay, that's what I'm going to call you. He said, you're going to call me Muhammad Ali. And he said he wasn't. When my uncle died, he was still calling me Cassius.
And
I I'm not changing. He wasn't changing it.
Was it Norton? He said, what's my name?
But somebody else did change.
It was Ken Norton.
Beat somebody ring.
Yeah, he beat him until they called him by his name.
Yeah.
Ernie wasn't going to call him. But
shout out to Ernie.
Ernie, though, in the end, him and Ali, they respected each other.
Right.
So it was a friendship then. But they were like, well, you ain't going to never call me Muhammad Ali. And so, you know, they had an understanding there. But all said and done, even with that, no matter what you say about Ali, he was the greatest. I mean, as far as boxing, I'm going to tell you, whether it was a cheating at all, I still think, pound for pound, he was still the best boxer. I think Ali was the greatest. Not just because, I mean, in the ring, yes, but not just because of in the ring, but because his whole life as a whole, the person he was, it was a complete circle.
Yeah,
it was a complete. And, you know, you can't take anything from that man. You just can't. And I'm not saying it's because he's dead and gone, because there's some people dead and gone that
they were messed up when they was here, and they gone, and when they left, they was messed up. It was a funeral, somebody's funeral, and people were saying all these nice things, and it was a preacher sitting up in the pulpit, and he finally got mad. He said, "Tell the truth." Because the thing is, you said all this nice stuff, but they said you didn't have nothing nice to say about it. That's why, if somebody, I don't really speak at people's feet, you know, like they, people can pause. I don't really do that. I don't. Every now and then, I might say something at somebody's funeral, but it's got to be because of what I'm saying. Because just because you did, I can't go back and say something nice or say you were something that you weren't, because mm-hmm. you weren't. Oh, they were a great person. They were the sweetest people in the world. Somebody trick or treated at his house and he threw rocks at him. That ain't sweet. But when he did, he's sweet.
Hey, if my time comes before you, I just want you to come up in there and be like, "Yup, baroom." That's what I want you to do. Come in there singing that.
I might do that, coming in the upper room. Somewhere he'll never stop. But no, man, that's one of the things that, you know, it ain't that I feel like I want to die before everybody I love and know, but I just don't. I don't look forward to nobody I care about dying. You know, I remember when my grandfather died, that was the first time somebody had died on me. And, you know, I wanted to jump in the ground with him. They grabbed me and my nephew, and I can't do that. But I wanted my grandma, "Can we all, when it's time, can everybody just die together?" And she said, we all going to go together.
Yeah.
I didn't understand then. And she said, when it's time to go up, we all going to be together. I might go on the ground before you, but we'll make it. But
you know, I want to say a big shout out to Marvin Hall. You know, he coached over at, up at Madison. You know, he lost his mom, so you know,
Mr. Hall.
Oh yeah, Ms. Hall. So Lisa and Marv, you know, big shout out to you guys. My condolences, my heart is with you guys during this time.
I want to give a shout out to our Deputy Grandmaster, Brother Travis Spales. He lost his grandmother. The visitation was today. They did a beautiful burial ceremony with the Order of Eastern Stars, and tomorrow will be the wake and funeral for tomorrow. So, you know, I spoke to the brother. You see, he's hurting, you know, and so prayers for them, and my heart goes out to them.
And of course, Miss Dixon, we love you so much.
R.I.P. Miss Dixon.
Yeah, the funeral home had her name in the prayer for the families of, and her name came up.
Yeah, we seen on the commercial, her name came up.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna miss her. She was a special kind of person.
What's the best concert you ever been to? In Mac the Music.
The Music?
Yeah, best concert.
The Winers Reunion.
Reunion?
The Winers Reunion concert.
Oh, where was it at?
In Chicago.
Okay.
Man, it was off the chain, and I got to be right up front. I was like, man. But my wife, she knew how much I love Commission. I mean, and the Winers. When I first
Commission
met her,
was on the car too.
No, Commission was the group that was there. Cause you know, all of them went solo. Mitch had his own.
Oh, I thought you had the Winers.
No, I went to a Winers family concert. Oh, okay. that was beautiful, but, and I loved it. But that reunion concert for Commission, that was all a shame. I went to Take Six. Now, and my wife knew I loved it because when we first started hanging out one summer, everybody at the church, because they always wanted to ride in my car because I was the fun guy. I was like, "Hey, we'll be in the car." They're like, "We should go to Michigan." I was like, "Okay." I stopped at the gas station, fill up, hit this expressway. We'll go to Michigan on a whim. Mm. And all the way there, they would hear my cassette tape. They had the Winers, Commission, and Take Six. They heard that all the way there. You know, I knew all of their songs. And so the Commission started there, when Fred Hammond left, and Keith left, and then they did, the group stayed together, and you know, Marvin Sapp joined the group, then Fred left, and then Marvin went solo. Everybody was doing their self-down solo thing. And I still miss Commission, but I was loving all of them.
Right.
So when they came back together, it was like, man, it was like the chemistry was still there. They were still on point, man. It was, man, it was Ryan. Because I know
My wife today surprised me with a birthday party for my birthday, and my daddy, it was my 30th birthday, and my daddy, he was the one that was going to keep me out. And then I kept asking, saying stuff like, okay, and I'm like, whose car down the block? He said, well, you need to shut up before you tell on yourself or something. I'm like, what the heck you talking about? I ain't know you. I'm going to figure out my own surprise when I get there. And then I saw one car. I said, oh, that's Bamba. I said, she always over here. I go in the house surprised. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, happy birthday. I'm going out of town. Okay, cuz like, okay, it's time to go. I'm like, where are you going? She's like, I got another surprise. We going. We getting ready to go. I'm like, we just started the party. So we all pound the car. Everybody going. Man, we pull up downtown. Red Hammer concert. Oh. She done got me tickets. They're like, man, we had a blast. And I loved it. I'm like, Fred, you know I love Fred. I don't think I missed the Fred Hammer concert or gospel fest when he was coming.
Right.
But then when they did the commission reunion and she took me to that, we went to that. Man, that was like all of them together. I was like, oh, see, this is, man, shoot. And when the video came out, my daughter, she got me the video and the CD thing of the reunion. I was like, man, they knew how much commission and the wine has meant to me. Because they got, my wife used to be like, in the morning, she'd tell me, just because you got to get up and get ready for work, everybody ain't got to get up. Because I get up, go in the living room, hit the stereo, hit the music, the Winers, commission, Fred Hyman, Take Six, Kirk Franklin, Hezekiah Walker, especially I'll Fly Away. I Fly Away, every time somebody in my family passes away, that would be the song that make me feel better. I'll Fly Away, yeah, because that's for me. You know, on a sad morning when it's like a little I'll Fly Away. And then a song about the Thompson Community Choir, Rest for the Weary. You know, you think about your family when it's gone and they flew away and they were weary, now they got rest, you know, things of that nature. So those songs kind of get you through that hump, you know, my mother died and stuff like that. So I would get, and so, and my wife, music has always been something that always did something for me. I have a hard day at work, I come home, the kids are mom, I love them, I'm going to hug them, and a lot of times I come home, I play with them. But then as soon as the radio go on, the music start playing, my wife, when the certain songs start playing, she know, and she'll take the kids and she'll take back their hurt, because she know, I need to sit back and listen to this, because something's going on and the music is helping me.
Okay.
Oh, best concert I've ever been to?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's been years ago. When I was stationed down in North Carolina, I went to a New Edition with TLC.
Oh,
man, you talking about action packed. Stand on your feet the whole concert, man, that was the bomb.
My concert now.
Okay,
here we go. No, but seriously, I need that. That's one thing.
Computer laughing at you.
That's a lie. He's lying.
Honestly, though, I know I should have started singing. Screw you, computer. But no, I really haven't been in that many concerts for real. And I was thinking that when you said it, I'm like, damn, I need to live. But I ain't really. The only concerts I've been to is people I opened up for. And I wouldn't, you know.
Right.
So I couldn't even really tell you. Like, I need to experience better concerts.
I went to see Roger Troutman and Zap, and Heavy D opened up for him when he first bust out with Overweight Lover.
Overweight Lover?
Man. Dude,
that was your song.
That was a hell of a concert. I was there. I was stationed in Fort Hood, Texas, you know, in the Army. You know, I went to see them. And then, you know, a few years ago, I went to see Kirk Franklin and Mary. And this gospel rapper called The Truth opened up for them too, man. And I mean, Kirk showed out. That all three actually they showed out. So those are two great concerts that I've been to.
I'm glad you said Fort Hood. Fort Hood just had a tragic accident where they lost like nine soldiers. That big flood.
Right.
The training exercise.
Yeah. So.
R.I.P. to those soldiers who lost their life, and
most definitely,
and their condolences to the families of the them Army soldiers.
Yeah, praying for everybody down there who's affected by it. No, I stayed in contact with Dominique Clinton. She be telling me that she's good, and so you know, just praying that she and her family stay safe. They're in the area where it's not affected right now, but you know, just she's always in my prayers. So with that, anything else concerning music, guys? You guys want to say something about?
Music.
You want to sing a Temptation song? I'm sure somebody bust out singing My Girl right now. Everybody
can hear. But you know,
I want to say this.
Music is a. It can calm you. I love music. Has always been that go to for me. Nowadays, some of the music, like, I just want to turn off because it makes it worse. But music is that calming effect, though. It soothes, you know. Music can calm the savage beast. So
right. When
that beast is raging up, the right music can calm it down.
All right, Questions, we're about to leave you with a. We're going to do our best do this Temptation song. You've been locked into the Quest. This is Roy Washington, Chico Manolo, Tony Whaley Sr., and Lenard Robinson. Here we go.
The sun shines on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May. You say, what can make me feel this way?
Quest Radio.
Talking about Quest Radio. Quest Radio. Been locked into the Quest.
Chico Manolo for sitting in with us today. Thanks to the roundtable, Tony Whaley Sr., Lenard Robinson Sr., James Greer, Miss Monica Kane. What's up, Brother Moss? Congratulations, Coach, on your marriage. He's a very lucky guy. And to everybody who I always give a shout out to, thanks to everyone. The Washingtons, Gladneys, the Lewis's, Clintons, you know. Thanks to everyone who supports this. D-Rock, what's going on? I see you making moves. I'm down with it. So, With that being said, keep letting music inspire you. Keep letting music be a big part of your life. Music calms the savage beast. Music. Enjoy, y'all. Till next time. Just
like music. To relax my mind so I can be free and absorb the sound that keep me round. Doing my thing constantly with no worries. Just to keep merry. Just like music. To keep me flowing, to keep me going, to keep me growing, to keep me the eat from knowing what happens out there is not my concern. You wanna die, it's not my turn. Do something to me like jumping the Mercedes on the highway, doing over 80 without music, baby. Make me call my homie on the phone like there's something new out that got me in the zone. Just that feeling got me. I wish music can adopt me. Just like music.